welcome to part three of our season review. Right, well, let's move on to Ferrari, third in the championship, sixth in 2020. Woo-hoo! So a big step forward for them. And we saw the performance improvement, huge step forward for them. Whether that's down to the engine, we just have no idea whether it's a fix on the engine or whether they're cheating again. But alas, Derek, the tinfoil hat theories, that boy speaks into the car park. I'm sure we'll find out. But look, they finished third in the championship, 332, and it was comfortable at the end for them because they stretched their legs. Again, as I mentioned there, the two drivers, Sainz, Leclerc and Norris, just 5 points between them. And even between Sainz and Leclerc, there was only, what, one's in 164 and one's 115, so 6 points between the two Ferrari drivers. That shows a consistency of performance over the season. Sainz finished fifth in the championship. His best finish was second in Monaco. Two outside the points, 20 points finishes in six top five. And then we actually look at Leclerc. Leclerc, 159 points, two DNFs, seventh in the championship. Finished second in the UK was his best finish. Again, no zero outside the points, so he was nothing close. He was either way at the back or in the top 10. 18 points finishes, podium for him as well. We've got four podiums for Sainz and one for Leclerc. Top five finishes, this is a bit telling. Leclerc had 10 top five finishes, the same as Norris, but Sainz bet them both on point. Take from that what you will. Gareth, let me come to you first. Sainz, he outscored Leclerc, but only by a small amount. But over the space of the season, it really felt that Sainz coming into a new car, a new team, it felt like Sainz was the guy for Ferrari. It felt like he was the guy in charge of the team. It wasn't just me.
No, I mean, Carlos came in. I think he's kind of schooled Charles this year, you know, because there was that whole thing that, you know, he was going to come in and be driver number two, but actually he came in and he's done a damn good job. The two of them have, you know, as Paul mentioned, consistency. Yeah. They were consistently and they were close. You know, so they would finish races, and where they were in the top 10, they would be there in fifth and sixth. And that's where they've managed to steal. Sorry, steal's the wrong word. It's where they've managed to achieve third overall as a team. It's purely because of the consistency that they've had between the two drivers.
I've been impressed by Sainz this season, and it's...
Absolutely, yeah.
His on-track racing's one thing, but the fact that he actually beat Leclerc... Paul... Talking to Leclerc, is it good value for Ferrari? That's the question. It's been a while since we look back to the heady daisy Monza and what was Spa back in 2019. That was his last two wins. They did have a questionable Ferrari engine in the car at the time, but that race where he held off Hamilton, the Tifosi went bonkers. It was up on the podium and we were watching it in 2019 and thinking, holy sh! This is a future Ferrari. They turned around, they've signed him on a five-year contract. Is Leclerc Ferrari's next world champion, Paul?
I think either of their drivers could be the next world champion for Ferrari. Mm. I think what Ferrari have done, yeah, the cars improved massively on last year, but what they've done is they got two world-class drivers in their team.
Yeah.
And that's why they're that is why they finished third. If they come next season with a half-decent car, then I can see them being right up there.
They've got two young drivers in that team now, which again was unusual for Ferrari.
Yep.
But they are two cracking drivers.
Yeah.
And that's what gives them the promise for next year.
Really, let's be honest, Ed, between the two of them, when there's only 5 points, 6 points between them, we can't really talk about one outdoing the other. However, Sainz, new car, new team, what a performance for Sainz.
Yes, Carlos Sainz did absolutely brilliant this year. He's fit into that team like it was meant to be. You know, I think he struggled at McLaren with Norris, but he was up for the challenge when he went to Ferrari. It just sort of brought him out of himself, and he went for it. He's done very, very well this season.
You know, Glenn, you said you were impressed with Sainz this season. Were you surprised by the performances from him this season?
No, really, no. I think Sainz has had that there all along. But then part of me thinks Sainz has looked good because Leclerc has underperformed for what we expect Leclerc to actually do. Because let's be honest, for 2019, last season between Vettel and Ferrari and the finish in sixth, it all seemed to be about the car. But we always thought Leclerc has the performance. Leclerc's got the speed. And that's why Ferrari signed him up for that five-year contract. I mean, that's how much they had it. Faith in him.
I think it's I think it's unfair to compare 2019 to this year we've just had with the Ferraris because of what's happened in between.
No, but
how far back they went and where they've came from for last season. I you put Leclerc in a good car, he's going to win races.
Well, I mean, my personal feeling on it is that Leclerc should have outscored Sainz purely from a experience with the team, experience in the car. I mean, Sainz coming into that car. I don't think any of the other guys that just dropped into a car actually bettered their teammate. Well, I suppose Alonso bet Ocon and stuff. Small margins, I suppose. But when you're up against Leclerc, I think it was a tough one for him. But look, again, Ferrari, a bit like McLaren, have been a bit in the wilderness, probably for the past 10 years. Okay, there was flashes of it in 2018 and stuff when they were maybe challenging Merck for the championship a bit of the time. But overall, it's been Red Bull's championship and it's been Mercedes' championship. Ferrari have not really had a huge sniff. There was a couple of opportunities back in 2011, 2010, but it matches nothing that we saw for 2000 to 2005. Again, a bit like the Renault side, because let's be honest, we were saying there that France basically backs Renault and stuff. Italy must be backing Ferrari. There must be more than just the team at play here. The 2022 car has got to come out of the box as a cracker. No, a physical cracker, just because it's close to Christmas, but an actual good car, before you point that out.
No, but I think it will, because you know what? I think the future's bright, the future's red.
Gareth, I'll just edit that joke out. Derek, this car that they produce next season, and we've said it with McLaren, we've said it with Alpine, Aston Martin, maybe not so much Aston Martin. I think they've got development to come online. AlphaTauri, they're a bit further back. But these teams that are at the front at the moment, Ferrari, as I mentioned, the other teams there, even Red Bull and obviously Merck, this should be a five-way battle for a world championship in the constructors next season.
Yes.
Ferrari have got to produce a good car. There shouldn't be any doubt over that.
We'll know after the first race. I know that's silly. You know what I mean? But after the first race, we'll know who has to do stuff and who's got it right straight off the bat.
Yeah.
And the others are chasing them. So that's where we're at with that sort of thing, you know.
I mean, to be fair, Ferrari's been kind of in the wilderness for the past 10 years as per... Okay, they had some challenges with Merck in there, but generally speaking, we've got to go back to Kimi's World Championship. They're due a resurgence. The budget cap, the aero changes and the aero handicap, I think, will play into Ferrari's hands. So, Derek, with them taking third in the championship, do you think it was a case of Ferrari were worth third in the championship and started or kept developing the car, or McLaren self-destructed after Russia? How do you see that take, or is it it's just racing?
McLaren self-destructed. McLaren should have been third. Ferrari looked into it, did improve. Ferrari did improve towards the end of the season, but I think that's only because McLaren went backwards.
Gareth, with the budget caps and aero changes and the aero handicap, do you think it's going to benefit Ferrari? Do you think it'll allow them to get back a level playing field?
Again, it's difficult to say. I think when we look at the cars that are coming next year, we're really just kind of pulling at strings. We hope that these things are going to make a difference. It's going to level the playing field and actually make it, like we've said before, to give so many more people the opportunity to be race winners, to be up there, to be challenging, to be, you know, racing it. So that we don't go into, there's nothing worse than going into these weekends when you almost have it decided what the grid's going to look like before we even get there. That's what I'm hoping for, so we see the difference. So I certainly hope that the budget caps do make a difference and it brings the likes of McLaren, Ferrari, all these teams back into the fold again and actually puts them up there challenging for wins.
The actual season, I mean, we're talking here in the 16th of December, and by the time we get this posted, it'll just be about Christmas. We're only looking at 23rd, 25th of February. That's the first test. The cars are going to be out on track. And then we're actually in Bahrain on the 10th to 12th of March as the second test. So it's 6 days they've got to get these cars, which with a car that they know, fine. With these cars, it's... Who knows?
The thing is, they've been working on these cars for 2 years now.
I know.
So there's engineers out there that probably know these cars better than the back of their hand. So
it needs to be running on the track, though. I mean, that's really where we'll... Ferrari pushing the car across the line. No, it's shit. And McLaren and Mercedes and Red Bull are all like, we don't know what we've done. We've completely screwed this up. And AlphaTauri will have a double diffuser, and Williams and Haas will have aced it, you know?
We've seen seasons like yes. that.
Derek, as we move into actually the sort of top three, four teams, do you think that there's going to be a bit of a hangover from a lack of development as they push this year's car? Do you think that we're going to be in a situation where Merck clearly were... Well, Merck said that they stopped developing the car after Silverstone. If that was the case, they did a great deal of fantastic setup to keep that car as competitive as they did. Same for Red Bull. Do you think there's going to be a hangover in any of these teams with how hard they had to push to finish in the positions this year versus next year's car? Or do you think all these teams will have been sensible enough to know enough's enough, let's move on to 2022, push everything towards that?
Possibly some of the top teams, because they've been pushing a little bit too much. I think they've got enough resources to develop it okay, so...
Plus, they've had the extra year as well. So I think the extra year should level out all the teams. So the teams that maybe would have been behind at the start of this season, if we had went for the new designs, will have had time to catch up. And with the extra aero package, I'm hoping that... Honestly, Derek, I hope we get to qualifying at the first race and there's a second between 1st to 20th. Out with that, then it's failed to a certain extent, because I feel that that needs to be the margins we're talking about. Right, so that brings us to our top two teams. These are the A-class teams, because again, the points difference, these teams are sitting like double the points, a third and fourth in the championship. So let's start talking about Red Bull. Red Bull finished second in 2020. This year in the Constructors' Championship, they also finished second on 585 points. So they've got the two drivers, Max Verstappen and Perez. Max obviously won the championship, 395.5 points, first in the championship, three DNFs. That was Azerbaijan, that was the UK, where he came together with Hamilton, and then again he came together with Hamilton in Monza. Three DNFs, Hungary, he fell back the field, so he was not outside the points, but it was one of the few races he didn't get a podium. Every other race was a podium. So his best finish was obviously the first. 18 podiums, 19 points finishes, 9 firsts, 8 seconds. When we look at Perez, 3 DNFs, 190 points on the board there, 4th in the championship. His best finish, obviously Azerbaijan, got the victory there. Hamilton, his magic button. 5 podiums, 16 points finishes, and in the top 5, 13 times. Now that's actually the same as Bottas. 13 times top 5, so the exact same as Bottas, but we'll talk about their differing approaches, because in both cases, I think the teams used Bottas and Perez strategically. So Perez got another year with Red Bull because his performance. Paul, was Max a worthy champion this year?
Yes.
That's what you really need to say, Gareth.
It's as simple as that.
I know. I didn't expect you to say any more. When I asked Derek this question, I expect more of a discussion. Gareth, Max, a worthy champion?
Absolutely. I think the numbers that you just kind of run through there about your race wins, race seconds, podiums, it kind of speaks for itself. Do you know, it's just a shame to see such a chasm in the overall points, though. Do you know, because you're talking there, so Clark was at, what, 159?
Yeah.
Perez came in on what?
Perez came in at 190. Bottas, 190. Yeah, 190. Bottas, 226. So, and Hamilton, 387. So, you're right, there's an absolute chasm between Max and Lewis and everybody else.
Yeah, that's the unfortunate thing. However, for Max, I think it's been a cracking year. And he took the car by the scruff of the neck and done everything he had to do with it.
I think this was the first year we could really see Max stepped up to... I mean, don't get me wrong, Lewis had a good season as well, but I think this was the first season we saw Max stepping up to Lewis's level. And we can argue the toss about who was at fault for this bump and that bump. But when they were racing to the end of a race, the speed and performance that these two guys had was head and shoulders and nipples and waists and knees above everybody else. It was just...
Yeah.
It was fantastic to watch. Some of the races were born because we weren't getting wheel racing. But the actual performance, lap times and speed that these two guys were showing was crazy.
Max did very well this year. He drove a very interesting season. I'm trying to be polite here. He did win more races, more beluga than management on some of them. I think overall, yes, he should have got the championship if it had all been fair and square.
Yeah.
And I don't care who you are, where you are in the world, last race of the season was wrong. In a word, and I'll cut it down so you can just edit this in, and I'll say,
yep.
Do I think Max Verstappen is a worthy world champion this year? No.
Paul, do you think next season, new car, do you think Perez as a racer can be fighting for a championship? Will Red Bull let him? And I mean, he was sacrificed on quite a few occasions this season. Perez, you go long on those tyres, and you block this strategy for Merck and stuff. So do you feel that this season Perez has just kind of done what the team said, but with the right car, do you think Perez could challenge for a championship? Could he make the step up to where Max and Lewis have been performing this year?
No, I can't see him challenging. I don't think Red Bull would allow that to happen. I think he's basically what Bottas is to Hamilton at Merck. He's came in, he's done a decent job in a car that other drivers have struggled to perform in. That's why he's been given another year. They'll be hoping that he can keep improving and keep doing what he's doing, because basically he's came in and he's done a job for them.
Exactly. Gareth, yeah. Would you agree
he's
with that?
He's the first one that's been in. Yeah, absolutely. That's what I was just going to say. Perez is the only driver that has been put in that car in the past, two or three seasons, that's actually been able to run in qualifying and in race pace close to where Max is. I say close. You know, there was a lot of the races that even without strategy, he was coming in 20 and 30 seconds behind.
The thing is, I mean, if we talk about Perez's points, 190, that's only 40 off of what is that battle that was Norris and the two Ferrari drivers. The 40 points, I mean, that we know that car. I mean, Max is 395 points. There's a huge gulf there between even the two drivers and the team. And Perez, you say that Perez did qualify okay, but we always found that when we were doing the podcast after qualifying, we were talking about Perez and Bottas. Both of them kind of were further down the field than they needed to be, because we had Gasly in there, we had Leclerc, we had Norris. There was a big bunch in there that actually, if anything, scuppered Perez having a better season. And the default performance then came down to, let's make him a roadblock for Hamilton later on in some way, shape or form. And he was used out with. Keeping in mind that Perez was used as a sacrificial lamb in places to hold people up, which isn't against the rules. You know, what he did in the last race. Because people were kind of like in the last race, like, oh, Perez is cheating, he's holding up Hamilton. It was up to Hamilton to get past him. And it was great racing. That's the thing, Derek. We watched Perez and Hamilton go at it for a lap and a half.
That was right. That was fine. I have no problem with that. Perez did his job and did it fairly. Wheel-to-wheel racing, and it was racing.
I mean, to be fair, Hamilton was avoiding the car a bit like the back end of a donkey. So he did know there was a potential there. And I think he was able to race like that because he didn't think Perez would pull a Max on him. He wouldn't make contact.
He trusted him not to.
Yeah. And I think maybe Max needs to look at how Perez drove that lap and a half and actually say, you know what, I could adopt that driving style. But I think the car next season is going to be the deciding factor. Two things for Red Bull. We've got the positive, which is Adrian Newey's designed, obviously, their 2022 car with the help of the team. They're moving across to their own powertrains from Honda. Could there be teething problems? Because, let's be honest, it can't be plain sailing. It can't be, let's build an engine factory, let's produce our own engines, everything will be okay. Gareth, do you see troubles ahead? Because, let's be honest, if they have engine problems, it is going to scupper Max try to retain a world championship. It really is.
Absolutely. There's every possibility. How much input Honda are going to have into that engine in the coming year, the result this year may affect how much they want to be involved with it. If the engine comes out and it's actually half decent, with Adrian Newey's design, might actually work. You never know.
But when it comes to producing the best aero package for a car, Adrian Newey is the wizard on high. Red Bull have got to be in the box seats next season with Adrian Newey.
If they can keep things stable, they should have a chance. But I think they've poked the sleeping bear that is Merck. I mean, I know Merck have been the top team. Maybe said to them, look, you know, you've been resting on your laurels, although now you've got to think about it. We've given you something to think about. Maybe they'll go, okay, if that's the way you want to play it, we'll play that way as well. Yeah. And I think that may not be good for the sport.
That's what the sport wants. I mean,
I was going to say it might not be. Yeah. No, it might not be good for the sport. It might be good for the viewing figures. It might be good for Liberty Media, but it's not going to be. It's not going to be pretty.
No,
I think it's going to get ugly. I think it'll get ugly before it gets better.
I feel Red Bull have done what Rosberg had to do at Hamilton, and I think Max had to do the exact same thing. The driving style, the team, the aggro, all the rest of it. Red Bull had to do all of this to get under Mercedes' skin, to get under Hamilton's skin, although Hamilton did actually shoulder it pretty well, I have to be honest. And however the last race finished, we were at a point that it came down to the last race. And I think to be in that position, Red Bull did incredibly well to get to that point. This was the easiest championship Max will have had, because next season, it's not just like Mercedes he's going to have to worry about. We've got Leclerc, we've got Sainz, we've got Norris, we've got Ricciardo, we've got Alpine, who I think are going to come back very strong. Aston Martin, maybe not so much, but those teams and those drivers in there are all capable of beating Max. And Max is capable of beating all of them on his day as well, right? But the difference is we're going to have 10 drivers, I think, with cars that will all be capable of winning the World Championship. And I haven't even mentioned Russell, because we're going to speak about that next.
Yeah.
But if you think Lewis was going to be a tough nut to crack, Bottas was nowhere. Bottas was not in that fight. You imagine what it's going to be when you've got Lewis and Russell to contend with. Because unless Perez gets his finger at his backside and Red Bull let him. Because the only way Max will win this championship next season is if Perez is on par with him, i.e. fighting for a championship to push him, at the same time as being in the mix with what will be a Russell and Hamilton grouping. Perez's driving style is all about being tyre management. And then coming into the race in the latter half and making up that time on the older tyres and then coming in and the shorter last stint and being in a position that can actually win a race. But Red Bull have obviously squandered that. And I think next season, I'm saying Max has got to worry about these guys. Perez is going to have to worry about these guys. Perez is going to go for fourth in the championship to eighth or tenth.
Yeah, if he doesn't watch himself.
Yeah,
he's got to be careful. He's got to be allowed to race to keep himself
exactly
in fourth.
Exactly, and if Red Bull.
If they're too busy saying to him, "No, you've got to fall back into sixth place for this lap," so that when they come in for the tyres, you know, you're there to block them. No, he's got to be allowed to get up there, else he's not going to be in the top six, top ten even.
Red Bull have all been about a one driver mentality for such a long time, because even when they had Weber and Vettel, Ricciardo and Vettel, Ricciardo and Max, it's all about the one driver. And that comes for the top, I'll tell you, Derek. That comes for the management of Red Bull above Christian Horner. That's that whole pally-pally, it's one driver, he'll do it. They are in a situation that it's not going to be a two-horse race. It's going to be an eight or a ten-horse race. And unless Red Bull actually level up the drivers, allow them to race, as you said, Perez will go backwards. And unfortunately, it doesn't look good for Red Bull next season if they keep that mentality. And unfortunately, it's worked for them this season, but 2022 is going to be a whole different ballgame for them. It really is. The 2022 car, even the FIA, because of the year's delay, it's went through various different iterations. I think something like version 15 or version 22. It's some crazy number for what they first showed. But the thing is, it's going to be 18-inch rims, right? So when they go wheel-to-wheel, we see it in F2 because they use the 18-inch rims. We see a lot more incidents that when they go wheel-to-wheel, punctures and damage, and the cars react in a completely different way versus the 13-inch rims that we have now. Do you think, I'll put this question to both of you, but I'll come to you first, Paul. Max's driving style this season has been questioned on various different occasions. It's aggressive. It's this, that, the next thing. And the cars for this season, I think with those big fat tyres in such a small alloy, have allowed them to race wheel-to-wheel and bumpy-bumpy and maybe get away with a bit more than what they will next season with 18-inch rims. Do you think Max will have to change his driving style to suit the new cars?
Possibly. But I think he's a good enough driver to work that one out for himself, that these are bigger wheels, maybe I can't be quite as aggressive. Whether he can take that out of his driving, I don't know.
True. Gareth, with the cars next season, do you think Max can do that? Keeping in mind that we're going to have, if we think about it this way, right, we're going to have Russell, we're going to have Norris, we're going to have Sainz, Leclerc, Danny Ric, Alonso, maybe Ocon. All the teams have invested huge amounts in getting this car because they all see it as their way. They see the summit and they're like, this car is going to get us back there. And with those types of guys, we're not just talking, we're not talking Hamilton here. We're talking a group of five, six guys that Max has not had to worry about this season, hasn't really had to worry about in the past few seasons. Next season, he's going to have all of them in the mix because all of them are thinking the same thing. This car can win me the world championship. How do you think Max is going to handle that? Because he's not just going to, it's not just going to be one incident in a race with Hamilton. If he's got to get through five or six, his aggressive driving style may not pay off for him. It won't be one incident a race. He's maybe got to have to navigate four or five. Do you think he'll have to change his driving?
Listen, they're always going to have some form of compromise in there. And a driver will learn pretty quick. If I do A and it results in B, then I'm not going to do that anymore. Do you know, his aggressive style has been, yeah, the car has allowed part of that. The rules have allowed part of that. You change all that. As a driver, you have to change your approach. You have to take a different route because if he continues the way he's driving this year and the car next year won't take that, you know, within two or three races, you know that you're not going to go anywhere near the championship. Yeah. So I think they're all going to have to learn fairly quickly what the car can and can't do. But equally, again, the rules have to match the cars.
I mean, we've spoken about F2. F2 cars seem to be a bit more like, they're a bit more tank-like. They can take knocks and bumps and all the rest of it. And we suspect that with the rule change, these cars are going to be very similar because all your aero is going to be underneath the car. So even if you get bumped or bashed, unless you take off the front or you take off the back, you're never going to really lose much of the way downforce for impacts for the side and wheel-to-wheel racing, and maybe if the wheels make contact, possibly there. But the cars themselves should be a bit more tank-like because they're not going to take off a barge board and lose 20% of their aero. These cars should be able to race closer, obviously, because of the aero changes. But also, that's the other thing is, when someone like Max in this year's car with the dirty air behind them is still able to pull these fantastic dive bombs on people and stuff, some fair, some not so fair, push people off the track. But on the whole, that type of racing, next season, everybody's got to be closer. If he's trying to dive bomb someone, somebody's trying to dive bomb them at the same time, it's going to be fascinating. We move on to Mercedes. Mercedes obviously took the Constructors' Championship. Hamilton just missed out on the Drivers' Championship. They were first in 2020. They were first again this year, 613 points. And keeping in mind what that says versus the other teams is just huge. But again, the points difference between Hamilton, 387 points, second in the championship. Only one DNF. His one DNF was in Italy where him and Max came together. Azerbaijan, he was outside the points, 15th because of the magic button. Best finish, obviously, first. 17 podiums, 20 points finishes, 8 firsts and 8 seconds. And Max obviously got the extra win. Otherwise, they're identical on that. We come to Bottas. Bottas was 36 points ahead of Perez. 226 points, third in the championship. 4 DNFs. Turkey was his best result. Obviously, the win there. 10 podiums. He had 13 top 5 finishes, the exact same as Perez. So it does feel like both teams used their second driver in similar ways. But let's be honest, Bottas was probably in the better car. And that goes to show how Max did such a great job stepping up his performance as a driver. Derek, would you say that after this season, there has been rumours that after the incident at the end, that Hamilton might not come back next season? I don't believe any of that. I think this season hasn't just woke up Mercedes, I think it's woke up Lewis Hamilton. Lewis wants nothing more to come back next season, wear a competitive car, and to show the potential that he's had this season. And I think we're still going to see the best because he's going to have to adapt to a new car. And I think out of the whole grid, I know we spoke about the younger drivers, I think Lewis is going to adapt to this car in a way that will surprise all competitors.
If all things fair and Lewis can get his head into the right place, he should come back and do his talking on the track. And I think, to be honest with you, I think Lewis is the one that said to Toto and the team, look, don't bother taking this to the court. All right, we know what they've done. let's use that as a positive force for us for next year, and we'll do our talking on the track. You give me the car, and I'll do the drive.
Gareth, was this Hamilton's best season from a driving point of view? Keeping in mind that he's not had any competition, really, and even up against Rosberg, he pulled some stuff out of the bag, but that team battle was just messy in places. But was this Hamilton operating on a different level just to get close to Max, to compete with Max, be in the same ballpark?
And it certainly felt that the two of them were actually performing at a completely different level. I think looking at Hamilton, this probably has been his best year for me, because it's the first year that we've seen him have a proper challenger. For all the years that he's won so far, the nearest challenger was the guy in the same car beside him, which I suppose is the same for all of them. You know, that's their nearest competitor. They became quite controlled, and there was your team orders coming in saying, right, okay, that's you, you know, just come in the order you're in. This is the first year. No one was calling Max to say, Max, listen, just you know, take second. You're all right with that. Keep pushing. And I think this is the difference. That's what's good to see. I think Hamilton has probably responded really well to the pressure he was under. Always seemed calm, in control. There were certain times he maybe broke that a little bit, but I think he done really well this season.
Paul, I mean, Hamilton's performance, especially in the last few races, he seemed to go up another gear, and it was really a case of him hunting down Max. Between the two of them over the space of the season, it kind of toed and froed and stuff. But then after, I guess, some poor performances by Hamilton, Max managed to open up this gap, this points gap. And it really then came down to a case of he had to clock back. He was the one chasing. And I think some of his best performances were in the latter half of the season. And even the last race, he had Max. Yep. He had Max until the safety car. That's the thing. His performances in the last four or five races were...
Yeah.
Even left Max trailing.
Yeah. I mean, I think before the third last race, it was looking like it was done and dusted. But for somewhere, he managed to get himself right back into it. And like you say, he was going to win that race until what happened. Yep. I know we're not allowed to talk about that tonight, but...
we want to keep it civil and we want to keep it within a fewer window.
I think his performance over the whole season's been unbelievable.
Yeah.
But so was Verstappen.
With Merck... Going forward, I mean, they've got to come out with a strong car next season. I genuinely think that once we left Silverstone, all development work that Merck were putting in and money that was being spent in the background was going to next season's car. I don't think they did anything else with that car except develop it with a driver to get the best out of it. And Hamilton aced that. We can't argue with that.
I think the biggest change throughout the season was actually down to Max started so aggressively. Hamilton was trying not to get involved in it. And I think he got to about halfway through the season and realised, right, I'm going to have to man up here and get involved in this, or I'm just going to let him run away with this.
That's it, and change with Silverstone,
exactly. And that's when all the sort of fun and games started happening. But I think that was when Hamilton thought, right, you know what, I'm not just going to sit back and let this guy come in, I'm going to fight him all the way. And he did. He 100%. That was the biggest change in the season for me.
I mean, to be fair, Red Bull came out of the blocks. This is the first season in many that Red Bull, from the first race, were competitive. It normally took them about half a season to get there. The aero changes meant that they could come into this season probably doing minimal changes to the car, apart from cutting off the sections, but having to do a lot less to the car. And when you've designed your philosophy of the car round high rake or low rake, it becomes very, very difficult to change that in the short amount of time over the space of a season. To be honest, I mean, Derek, I felt that Hamilton drove better this season than he has done at any other season in the past because he had someone to compete against. The laps that he put in,
Yeah, I will say, right, there have been some fantastic one-lap qualifying. I mean, Max did an absolutely blinding one at Jeddah. Absolutely. That street circuit, absolutely blind. Okay, he hit the wall at the last bit and lost it. But the actual bit before that was superb.
Paul, do you think, I mean, Bottas has obviously been replaced. You're happy to see the back of Bottas? I mean, as a team, they obviously want that team harmony And it suited them the past 7-8 years where they have somebody malleable in the other car. And even Rosberg was that to a certain extent until he had one good season. But are you glad to see him being replaced by Russell? And do you think Russell will be used the same way as Bottas has been? Or do you think it'll be a both boys go racing, go racing?
To answer the first question, yes, I'm glad to see Russell replace Bottas.
Yeah.
We all and know. For this... Yeah, yeah. And answer your second question, I really hope they just say, out you go and race.
Yeah.
Cynical yeah. side of me says that might not quite be the case.
True. Yeah, I mean, look,
yeah.
Hamilton is Russell's boyhood idol, you know? I mean, because even the age difference between them, 10 years or whatever, means that he's coming through and he's seeing Lewis Hamilton racing in Formula One. Gareth, do you think that Russell will be used... Or Russell will happily accept Merck's team orders or you do this, you do that for the first season as he gets his feet under the table, gets up to speed with the car, and then we maybe see him in 23 being a championship challenger? Or do you think Russell's going to be, you know what, out of the box, I'm going to show them what I've got, what I've been hiding at Williams for the past 3 years? I would certainly say we expect to see Russell's first win this season, if nothing else.
Yeah, I think it's fair to say that season one at Merck will be controlled. I don't think he's going to hide under a bushel what he can achieve, but I think he is going to be possibly reined back in. Listen, you know, no one knows what's going to happen to Hamilton, so you know, maybe through some weird alignment of stars, Russell actually gets a better start to the season. They may well let that go, but I get the feeling that next year is going to be Merck's time to kind of solidify Hamilton's championship, and I think that's what they would come out gunning for. So I'd be surprised if Russell's allowed to stretch his legs quite that far.
This brings me to actually the next question. Merck, Hamilton, Russell, going forward, will they be, from the start of the season, even less compromising? Because now they know that Red Bull has got to come out swinging with Max. They've kind of seen this season the tactics and the rhetoric and the saber-rattling over the space of a season. And maybe they didn't expect that challenge for Red Bull. And maybe it took them a wee bit by surprise how competitive the Red Bull was going to be this season. They knew they had aero things to fix. But instead of turning around, like obviously the teams at the back saying, you know what, let's look at next season's car. Merck came out swinging. But I genuinely think that this maybe has been Max's easiest season for a championship. I mean, it was a tough season for him. But between the extra people coming through, potentially have better cars and closer racing, as well as the challenge that Merck's going to put up, I think Mercedes is going to come out and will be ready for a Red Bull challenge from race one.
I think the thing is, we kind of knew this was the season we've just had was going to be the way it was going to be, pretty much for race one. Yeah, this may well have been Max's easiest or best season to win the championship.
Yeah.
Because of not necessarily where Mercedes were, but because of where everybody else behind them were, their cars were never going to challenge. So it was giving him the perfect opportunity to kind of go forward and challenge Hamilton. And if we've got close racing with these cars behind, if we just go to McLaren, you know, you bring Alpine into the mix, if those cars are all on top of this, then yes, it's going to be an interesting season.
And we've spoke about Russell, Leclerc, Norris, Sainz, Alonso maybe coming back, maybe Ocon. But we've got this group of drivers that are going to be nipping at these two guys' heels and not stuck behind them because the aero's crap on the cars and stuff. They are going to be there. And I think with Russell in there, it's, you know what, Derek, I'm going to quote your line. Next season is going to be Mercedes to lose. Do you think Mercedes, they won the Constructors, but do you think they did anything wrong this season? They find themselves, obviously, Lewis just losing at the end. But as a team, could they have done anything more this season? They developed a car that was, let's be honest, it had disadvantages at the start of the season.
They seemed to hang on to that. Now, there was a lot of complaints about, you know, the aero changes only affected the low-rate cars. High-rate cars were fine. They didn't get affected by it so much. And I don't know if, at the start of the season, rather than actually kind of digging into that and looking for ways around it, they kind of got bogged down in it, and it was something that was spoken about all the time. You know, we're not as competitive because we've got a low-rate car. It's been set. And I think, that for me, that there's a possibility that had that energy possibly been put into developing the cars or looking at ways of working around that, it might have changed it a wee bit. But you know what? At the end of the season, they've got the championship.
The Constructors, where the money is.
Constructors. That's the big one for them.
Yeah, the prize money apparently is about $73 million for taking the constructors. Keeping in mind that their yearly budget is about $135 million. That's a budget cap, so it's a fair old chunky change. And then it drops down to about $66 million for Red Bull. So there's a substantial difference there between them.
Out of all of this, Lewis has been shown to be a true sportsman, a true gentleman of the sport, and I think that's all he can do. If other people don't want him to be in there, they should come out and say, and have the guts to stand up and say, we don't actually want this man in this sport because he's, whatever reasons they've got.
Yeah.
There is still a long way to go before there is an equal playing field in Formula One.
Sprint races for next season, apparently there's going to be 6 of them. I don't know what races yet, but I suspect that they'll probably pick off the same 3 plus another 3. It's obviously not going to be Monaco and stuff like that, but sprint races for next season, yay or nay?
Nay, yeah. Get rid of them. Right. Bring nothing to it. But absolutely nothing. Get rid.
Good.
Good. Well, do you enjoy them? I thought they were a bit... Well, yes. Hopefully. Hopefully with this 2022 car, I can get on board with them. Out with that. Nah. Wank. This is the fluff that fills the end, by the way. Best race of the season?
The last one.
Okay.
I enjoyed it. Take the controversy out of it. I enjoyed the race itself. The start that Hamilton got off the line him up, and the overtakes and the Perez bit. You've got to, that I enjoyed.
Gareth, he's got to see Abu Dhabi.
No. I think, Silverstone was a good race, purely because of the drama that it brought, and as Paul mentioned, the change that happened in the rest of the season thereafter. So I think Silverstone was a really good race because it was one that kind of stuck a pin in it. And race that I want to go and see for next year is Zandvoort. Absolutely. That was just a party weekend. So yes, I want to go to that one.
Paul?
Yeah, it's Silverstone for me as well.
Best race of the season for me was actually Portimao, which I know it was right at the start of the season, but we had, and Bottas was competitive, so we had Hamilton, Max Verstappen and Bottas within like 3 seconds each other. One mistake and you would lose a place. Gareth's correct. I think Zandvoort and the party atmosphere, that's what they want every weekend, every race.
Yeah.
It doesn't seem to be the case in the Middle East. They're more like, we're trying to sell you to come here on holiday. Whereas Zandvoort was like, party. Race weekend, party.
Jeddah, you could have just turned up there a busload of people and that would have made the place look busy.
That's maybe what they did, Gareth. What did you love about this season?
We've got a title battle.
Close racing between two guys at the front.
The nearness of the teams. There wasn't anybody that ran off into the distance. Max got a good lead at one point, but it was clawed back. And I like the to-in and fro-in. I thought that was good about the season.
Paul, what did you hate about this season?
Sprint races.
Gareth, what did you hate about this season?
All the strategy stuff. Strategy. People winning.
FIA yeah. Nonsense as well.
Yeah.
Max Verstappen.
Okay, moving on. I know that Max and Lewis performed at a different level, but if we take them out of the equation, Paul, best of the rest if you want. Driver of the season?
Norris.
Norris. Gareth?
Yeah, Norris.
Norris. I think Sainz is a close second there, considering what he had to do going into a team and all the rest of it, but I have to say Norris as well.
Lando Norris.
I think that's across the board. Obviously, the answer to this question is completely obvious, but excited about the 2022 season?
Very. And I'll tell you after the first day of practice whether I'm going. It's been, all the hype's been lived up to.
No, I can't wait.
Gareth?
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's going to be an interesting season. It's, as long as the cars live up to the hype.
Look, I think they should. The Liberty Media have spent a lot of time and money and forced the FIA into producing something that has to give us a better show. Has to. If the cars are racing so much closer, we should have a second covers 20 guys. That's the dream. I mean, you look at things like touring cars and they've got like 30 cars, and apart from the last 4 or 5, the top 20 is a second between them. Team of the season, best improved? Or do we have to give it to... Not so much. I don't think Mercedes deserve it as a team of the season. They did develop the car and all the rest of it, and that's controversial, but I think team of the season has still actually, it's got to be Red Bull. They fought tooth and nail. For me, rightly or wrongly, they won the championship. Derek will call me out on this, but team of the season, I think, has got to be Red Bull.
Yeah, I've got a bit of a mix in there. Red Bull, yeah, because of, as you say, the amount of pressure that they put on. But I think for me, and it's maybe more a kind of heart over head, is McLaren.
Yeah.
Just seeing them actually deliver, and, you know, seeing the results that we're getting after so many years of being at the back of the grid there, it's great to see. So, yeah, Red Bull for out-and-out performance and McLaren just for development and kind of where they've brought themselves up to.
Paul, do you want to give a wee nod to Ferrari? Because I think going for 63rd in the championship is a pretty impressive.
That's who I was going to go for. Well, them and Haas for actually bothering to turn up each week.
Derek, look into your crystal ball, right? Next season, driver of the season 2022.
Lewis Hamilton.
Oh, I thought you were going to see Russell there. I thought you were going to see Russell. Norris one. We look forward to 2022 with bated breath. I think we'll get more than two teams fighting out for the championship, and I think we'll get more than two drivers fighting out for the championship. I can only look forward, and hopefully, you, the listeners, will join us on the journey. You guys will come in for the podcasts, and we will hopefully have a hoot in 2022. Well, folks, that really is. There's nothing else for me to say except thank you for joining us this season. I hope you've enjoyed the podcast. We've enjoyed a great deal doing it, apart from the editing, which takes ages. I hope you'll join us next season as we enter a new era of Formula One racing, which hopefully will just be all positives. I want to thank my co-hosts again, Derek O'Connor, Gareth Martin and Paul Higgins, for joining me over the space of the year, and you guys for downloading and listening to the podcast. Have a great Christmas, have a great new year, and hopefully keep your eyes peeled for the odd couple of episodes before we get to February testing for 2022. This has been a Beardacat production for DNF1.